Hour number two, Darren, Donick, and Chase live at Centennial Sportsplex. Predators training camp rolling right along. Final week as they have two more preseason games tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena, 7 o'clock puck drop. I'll have pregame for you at 6. Everything heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It'll be the Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes. Same two teams right back at it on Friday in Raleigh to close out the preseason. Then it is on. And they've got just a couple more spots to whittle down to get their roster set. We had a really good interview with Predators head coach Peter Laviolette in the first hour. If you missed it, you can go to our website and our SoundCloud and find that interview.
Let's go to thegamenashville.com.
And the audio. Yeah, thegamenashville.com and our audio page. And, in fact, Max said that he just tweeted that out, so you can find that as well. It is a really good interview with Peter Laviolette talking about this team. Let's talk a little bit about what the Titans face on Sunday, right? This is a big game, and so it's a big game actually for both teams. I mean,
yeah.
This is critical because
you've said you think Dan Quinn could be.
I do.
On the hot
seat. I could be wrong, but let's just be honest. They haven't recovered.
Nope.
From the Super Bowl loss.
Nope.
They haven't. They have not recovered from a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl, and it resulted in a loss. They have not been the same since. And quite honestly, I think there's a couple other things. One particular here that we don't talk about enough, and this is just my opinion. Mariota hasn't been the same since his injury. And you know who else got hurt on that day?
Matty Ice.
Derek Carr. Same injury.
Yeah, Derek Carr. That injury.
And he hasn't been the same either.
Yep.
Is that a coincidence? I don't know. Some would say, yeah, that's a coincidence. I think not. I mean, maybe there's something to that, that they have not been the same since those injuries.
And you said injury. I mean, Marcus has had a couple. Like, that one
But that
in
one in particular. That's a
But he's had the nerve. He's had the nerve ending thing.
But that one's a pretty graphic injury. But both of those. I mean, when you break something, that's bad.
Right.
I mean, that's really bad.
We saw Alex Smith last night walking with a limp because he's – You know, he had a horrific injury like that.
But the Falcons haven't recovered from that, and so this is big for both teams. A loss is going to put somebody really where they don't want to be, in a hole, okay, between the Falcons and the Titans. We also talked about some of the problems that have plagued the Titans over the last 2 weeks. And actually, their tight end Delanie Walker weighed in on one of those big problems yesterday.
I'm going to be real with you. My position says tight end, right? I can't speak about what other position they're what they're doing or what they're not doing. This is the NFL, so, I mean, you have to step up. I don't think one guy going to make a difference. I love Taylor to death, and I think he's one of the best tackles in the game, but is that going to make a difference when he come back?
I think I said that yesterday on the show, did I not?
Yeah,
I said, let's just go on and put this out there. Taylor Lewan is going to be a nice addition after this Falcons game when he returns into the mix because he is their best offensive lineman. He is their left tackle. He is the stalwart of that offensive line. But don't act like they're going to be able to wave a magic wand and poof, everything is great now. Like all of a sudden, all the problems that we've talked about where yesterday I said, for whatever you think about the Dolphins, whatever you think about the Jets, whatever you think about the Redskins, whatever you think about the Cardinals and their problems, the Titans have given up more sacks than those teams. Okay, so that is bad.
Right.
And so it's not going to just all magically be repaired and fixed whenever Taylor One returns back to that offensive line after this game on Sunday. And Delanie Walker just said exactly what I said yesterday on the show.
Yeah, and thanks to WKRN for that clip because I saw them tweet that out yesterday. I agree with you, and I agreed with you yesterday. Taylor Lewan's going to help. He's going to make Roger Saffold a little better because I think Saffold needs a top-tier left tackle next to him to really get to his level. But he's not going to fix all the problems. There are bigger problems on that offense than just – Taylor Lewan being out.
I interpret it as everybody has got to do their part. We can't just sit there and say, well, everything's going to be all right because Taylor Lewan's coming back. But that being said, Taylor Lewan should make a big difference. He's well paid. He's got a great track record. He should be able to make a very big impact at a very important position. And I would hope that he has got all kinds of extra motivation because he put himself and he put his team in this position, right? They've been playing catch-up, and they have missed him without a doubt. But Delanie Walker's point is well taken. I think he's looking at this offense and saying, you know what, since he's been here, have they had this many players on offense who could make a play?
Right.
I don't think they have, right? It's a matter of utilizing everybody that they've got. Say what you will about lack of consistency of a Corey Davis or things, but I look at the talent. This is the best talent they've had in a good while, since Delanie Walker joined the team, for sure, where Delanie Walker has played many games for this team where if he didn't get it done, there was nobody else that was going to make a play. And there were some dire games in the 5 and 27 set where we're like, who's going to catch a pass besides him, let alone make a difference in a game? But now it's a matter of getting these guys all on the same page and getting it done. I think that there's no excuses, right? Like you were saying yesterday, Darren, everybody's got some holes somewhere, right? It's a matter of overcoming your weaknesses and doing what you do best, bringing out the best in what you do have.
This is what I want to ask you. Taylor Lewan, yeah, like I just said, he's going to help. But can he correct Marcus overthrowing receivers? Can he correct Marcus with some mental lapses? Can he correct a receiver dropping a pass that he shouldn't drop?
No, but he can give him more time to make he can give him the confidence that he is going to have time to execute the play that has been called. That is where he can, and maybe help Derrick Henry get more yards on the ground to just make everybody's job a little bit easier. Your best players, your highest paid players, need to make other players better. And so I do think that Taylor Lewan, the specific things you said, I know what you're saying. Absolutely right. But I do think that he should make a big impact, right? They're paying him as such. If you rank him where the most important players are, he's in the top five, right? Your left tackle's hugely important.
And they paid him as such.
Exactly.
Now, to tie this back to something you said, Darren, about Marcus Mariota not being the same since that injury, look, a majority of his injuries have occurred where? In the pocket. Like, he hasn't, you know, he scrambles and he runs and all that, but they've been in the pocket. He has had no time in the first three games, and I think he's playing a little bit scared, and rightfully so. I get it that he's trying to get rid of the ball.
And it's not a strength of his to start with, right?
No.
The pocket feel, as we've talked about, is, you know, shuffling around and stepping up and giving yourself that extra second. A lot of times he'll put the ball down, his shoulders down, where he's not in a throwing position. And then the pocket has really not been tight. The pocket has gotten very small, right? I think these are all things that have caught up and been part of the issue with them just not being able to feel comfortable with any kind of consistency in the passing game.
Yeah, so I think that's a big part of it too. So Lewan is going to add, you know, I always call Delanie Walker Marcus's security blanket, and I didn't mean that, you know, in a bad way, just that he's reliable. I think Taylor Lewan is another one of those guys, because Taylor, anytime you talk to him about Marcus, I mean, he loves his quarterback, and he's always standing up for Marcus Mariota. And I feel like Marcus sees that and feels that and knows, okay, 77, that's my guy. He's going to take care of me. And so there is a little bit of that comfort that I think Marcus has missed. And, yeah, we've seen it. He's had no time. He's had no time to execute a play. So from that aspect, I do think that Taylor is going to help and make this offense click a little bit better.
But, of course, it's not going to be on Sunday.
No.
They've got to find a way in this game without him.
And if Nate, you know, it looks like everything I've seen, I mean, I think we're going to see Nate Davis.
Well,
talked about that yesterday.
Whether he starts or, I mean, I think he's going to play at some point. I mean, I don't know if he starts. I don't know. But at some point, he's going to be in there on Sunday, right? I mean,
well,
if he's
going to be in there on Sunday, he starts. Like, it's not.
You think?
Well, I think ideally, if you look at NFL teams, the way they approach the offensive line is they don't want to be shuffling guys in and out. If you're starting the game, the idea is you keep the same five in for every play. Whereas college teams, they still will rotate guys from time to time. you know, and use the depth. But in the NFL, I think that the game plan, that the five guys working together, I think if they insert him, I think it's all or nothing.
I would be more surprised if we did not see him than if we saw him, whatever capacity, starting at some point. I can't imagine that he is not on the field at some point on Sunday.
And then you got to look at Atlanta. You know, Dan Quinn, a defensive guy, saying, okay, how do we exploit this? I mean, let's look at that Jacksonville tape. What did they? I mean,
right.
You just know. Now, Dan Quinn is more of a, if I understand his philosophy, he's more of that Tampa 2, right, that base defense, rush with the front four, not a lot of exotic stuff, at least traditionally. Is that fair to say? I mean, I'd have to check I'd have to check, but I do wonder what the matchups are different every week. Like on the other side, they've got all these guys, Ridley and Mohamed Sanu and obviously Julio Jones. They spread the ball around. But I would think that's an okay matchup for the Titans. They have a variety of defensive backs. They have good depth there. You hope that that's an okay matchup.
The biggest thing I want to see, and this can be on offense or defense, I just want to see that one guy step up and just completely make a game-changing play. They had that against Cleveland with the defense. You had the secondary. They made game-changing plays. They need to have that now in this game because it's been missing the last couple. They haven't had that game-changer. And I don't know whether it's Derrick Henry, whether it's somebody, Rashawn Evans, somebody on the defense. They got to have that game-changer.
Just looking at some numbers from last year, it will, as the week goes on, we'll give you a little bit better idea. They did not do a good job of pressuring the passer last year, the Falcons. Not nearly as well as they hoped. And just in watching the game against the Colts, I didn't see them put a whole lot of heat on Jacoby Brissett. They got systematically driven on throughout the whole first half. Right, and they were playing catch up the rest of the way. Fair to say, is that what you guys saw?
Yeah.
I didn't see a defense that was just ferocious and coming after the quarterback. So maybe this is a game where you can a little easier protect Mariota and give him a chance to make some plays. They also, unfortunately, I saw the play where the defensive back blew out his Achilles.
And by the way,
he throws his helmet down and he gets a penalty.
That is so ridiculous.
In frustration,
I'm glad
that
you brought that up. I wanted to do that on This Is What I Know yesterday, or You Just Made the List. I was like, how do I work that in? Because I saw that play happen. Now, keep in mind, this guy blew out his ACL, speaking of knees, in the first game of the season last year. Lost for the year. So he's back, he's excited, and now he's blown out his Achilles in the, third game of the year?
Right.
And so he is, visibly upset. Okay.
Oh, emotional.
Emotional. Like he is
pouring.
He's crying.
Yeah.
He's crying. Like, I can't believe this has happened to me again. And of course, like your ACL, just there are certain injuries you know right away, like, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm in big trouble. And he threw his helmet off, and he's just emotional because he's like, I'm done again. Like, I can't believe this. And they gave him an unsportsmanlike conduct.
So
can you
for
have
removing his helmet.
A little freaking common sense? Can you pick up the flag and go talk about it first and say, you know what, after further review, this is not a penalty? Like, don't you know, we all know that what that is intended for. This is not what that's intended for.
I think you make the right point. I understand why the guy threw the flag, because he may not know right away what's happened.
Yes, of course.
But after you realize what's happened,
pick it up, talk about it, and say, we can't.
There's nothing wrong with doing that. Let's have some
conversation. So ridiculous. Yeah. Like, I could not believe that they penalized the Falcons.
It was an important penalty, too.
Yes, it was.
It was down in the red zone. It gave them a first down, and they scored a touchdown off of that, and they end up winning the game by, three points?
Three? I mean, come on. Have a little common sense. I get it. You don't, like you said, live action, you don't know why he did that, so you throw the flag. Now when you realize he's sobbing, on the field, and he's screaming.
And he's in pain.
And there's medical personnel coming, running to, then maybe you're going, okay, what's going on?
Yeah.
Let's talk. Oh, wait a minute. He's, really hurt bad. So he threw his helmet off because he's in great pain. And he's emotional because he knows this is a really bad injury. Okay, we just need to pick this up. This is not what this is intended
for. Right, because you can do – the official can do that and be like, hey, let's just hey, there's no flag for unsportsmanlike conduct.
You know, have some on. Common sense.
By the way,
but the NFL, the officials don't have common sense, no. It seems.
By the way, when I tore my ACL in a rec ball game, I got called for traveling. I blew it out. I blew it out, fell down to the floor, and I got up and I was like, traveling?
What? I blew out my knee.
It's our ball, isn't it? It's not. It's our ball. And they're like, no, you travel.
That is heartless. Like, that is heartless.
It was a mini version of the same
knee.
Thing.
What
that
are you
is
doing?
A great way
Come
to
on.
End this segment.
Can it not just be a timeout? Come on. Blew out my knee.
I was having a great game, too.
Mitch Light from Athlon Sports will join us at noon. We'll also have a player or two from the Predators when they get off the ice today. Derek Mason over on West End, Vanderbilt's football coach, at 1 o'clock. A lot more coming on Darren, Donick, and Chase. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, Preds fans, don't forget this Sunday, September 29th. Put this on your calendar. From 2 until 6 p.m., it is free, the second annual Preds Fest. It'll be at Bridgestone Arena. There'll be Predators players appearances, live entertainment, a used equipment sale, and fun for the whole family. Stop by our tent. ESPN The Game will be there. There will be prizes and game gear. Second annual Preds Fest this Sunday. Sunday at Bridgestone Arena. Preds Fest. It's a lot of fun. There was a great crowd last year. I anticipate even bigger crowd this year. And as Sean Henry told me on Saturday in pregame, this is something they're going to keep building every year, and it is going to be bigger and better every single year. So I expect year two to be bigger and better than year one. So this Sunday, mark it down, go over to Bridgestone Arena. It is free, and it's a chance for you to go have fun with the whole family.
Free is always good.
Free is always.
If it's free, you're right. It's for me, and I'll take three.
That's right. You should never complain about free.
No.
Just like your coaches, you know, that are volunteers. They're out there for free.
Yes.
So don't complain.
Is that a message?
No. It's laying the groundwork. You know. Just keep that in mind.
Can I say this,
though?
We got
a great group.
About, you know, because Willie brought up earlier that this will be your last year pitching. Now, mm-hmm. I guess you can still coach, right?
Yeah.
You can coach them for a while.
But it'll be kid pitch this time next year.
Because when you get to the point where you're not the coach anymore, I do worry about you.
Why?
I don't think you'll be a helicopter parent, but I could see you just like sitting there in the stands and you're just like, you know, you can just get all worked up because of a call or something. I could totally see that. I think I would be that way.
I think you're probably, you know me too well.
I do. I'm just.
So you're saying you're already laying the groundwork for concern. You're concerned when the day arrives that I have to just be a spectator that you're concerned of how I will act or
I'm
behave.
Concerned for your tongue because I think you're going to bite it a few times.
Yeah.
Well, and I say this
I've been biting it for a long time, so I've learned the art of biting my tongue.
I could see a couple times where you just stand up and Lauren looks at you like, sit down.
Neither confirm nor deny
and
what
I
will
say
happen
this,
down the road.
I say this because, as we've established, you and I are very similar. I would probably be the same way. So,
I don't know. I don't really.
I think I would. If
okay.
I mean, I don't have kids, obviously, so I don't know how I'm going to be. But I could see myself getting competitive on my kids' behalf.
Look, you know I'm in trouble. It's a pretty safe prediction. If Willie has already admitted on this show that he's already been accused of being a little over the top, so if Willie is in that department, you know I'm in big trouble.
Yeah, it's
big trouble.
Maddox is going to – they're going to be like, Maddox, isn't that your dad? Nope.
Never seen him before in my life. Have no idea who that guy is.
Don't know who that guy is.
Because you have already admitted that you have been accused of some of that, right? You get a little – you have screamed at the refs, have you not, or the umps?
I feel like I've improved a lot over time.
Uh-huh.
But there were times in the past, I cannot tell a lie, that I was like, what was I doing? Why did I do that? Got a little emotional. One thing that helps, like these are, I feel like I could be a really good therapist and teacher to younger parents of younger kids who are just getting into this phase of life. One thing that's really worked for me is to sit far enough away from the field or the court so that the refs can't hear you, and you're the further you are, like if you're like in a Cracker Box gym and you're right there and the official's right there, you feel like you can just say, you can
like, the excuses,
you feel like you can just like, oh, sir, you're right there. Did you see?
You're going to be.
Come on.
Darren's going to be off in a, like, they're just going to put him off in a corner.
So sit high up.
Well, what? Yeah,
or
but
far
what
away.
Man box?
That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's where I'm vulnerable.
I know.
I'm vulnerable.
Did you guys see this video that's gone viral out of Philadelphia? The guy with the fire?
Yes.
This not hilarious? By the way, Nelson Aguilar has invited him to the game on Sunday.
It's a great idea.
This guy is a good Samaritan. He helps a family. I don't even mean to laugh. This was really a scary situation. A family, what was it, apartment complex, right?
Was there was a fire. Yeah.
And this family stranded. They're like, help, help. And luckily the fire department gets there with the ladders, but this guy and other good Samaritans are like helping. They're throwing stuff out of their apartment. He's like, you know, we were catching everything, unlike Aguilar.
And he gave a look. He gave a look to the camera. Like,
Aguilar,
come on, Aguilar.
Get your stuff together, dude. I'm out here catching burning stuff from an apartment. Why don't you catch some footballs? Now, Aguilar did have two touchdowns, but he's had some critical drops the last couple of weeks. And so this good Samaritan calls him out, and this video has gone viral. And Aguilar has invited him to the game on Sunday.
It's a great move by Aguilar, though.
Oh, yeah.
Great move.
For sure.
Great PR move.
Look, all athletes should look at this and understand that this is a good teaching tool. Rather than, you know, do some of the dumb stuff or not laugh with it and be mad, this is a good, I mean, Nelson Aguilar is embracing it, and he's reached out to the guy and said, okay, I hear you. You come as my guest. And you know what? If you want to defuse something, that's probably a pretty good way to do it. And now he's impacted in that, you know, who knows what this will lead to. Maybe a relationship or
it'll
probably change the whole perspective of this fan to Nelson Aguilar. A pretty funny story if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I just looked that up.
The priceless look. It's not that he said it, but he just kind of looks at the camera like, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, you with me, Eagles fans? Like, Aguilar, come on.
That shows commitment to your team right there. Yeah. You're in a traumatic situation, and you're a hero, and you're still calling out the receiver for dropping a pass.
It's only a Philadelphia fan would do it.
I could see Nick Cale doing that.
They just won the Super Bowl not too long ago. And they are off to a surprising slow start, right? I mean, everybody had the Eagles as really good, and they just dropped one at home to the Lions.
Yeah.
What are they, 1-2? Just like the Titans, right?
Yeah. Yep, they are. The Cowboys are 3-0 in the NFC East, just to let you know.
Against three chumps.
Yeah, when you
got to win those games.
But when you beat those teams, does that really count as a full win, or do you get a half of a win? Are they 3-0 or 2-0? Because two of them were half wins.
They are 3-0. The Skins are 0-3, and then the Eagles and Giants are 1-2.
They've beaten the Giants, the Redskins, and the Dolphins.
You have to beat those teams, Darren.
Dregs of the NFL.
That's fine. They'll be all right.
This is a fair thing to throw out there, though, because the schedule is the schedule. If the Titans had played those three teams, would they be 3-0? I think they would.
Well,
I think they would.
They
I think they absolutely would be 3-0.
I would hope that they're – look, there's no way you can have this conversation of what we've had all offseason if you're not 3-0 against those three teams.
Right. I mean, the Bills are 3-0, beating the Giants, Jets –
same deal.
And the Bengals.
Yes. Bad
so
teams.
Would the Titans be 3-0 if they played those three teams? I think they absolutely would.
I would hope so. Because you have – that's the whole point. So you have to take care of those teams.
That is perspective that you have to have. And unfortunately for the Titans, it's not like they've played a brutal schedule, right? They've missed some chances. That's what hurts about the 1-2 is they haven't lost at Kansas City, right? They didn't lose in L.A. against the Chargers. And meanwhile, the Texans won in L.A. I mean, that's where you've lost some ground here after three games. So But it is worth being putting in perspective. Even though every game is giant and overanalyzed and overemphasized, you still have a long way to go in the season. You have a huge portion of the season yet to be played. But you got to play better.
We'll talk about those standings on the other side of Darren Donick and Chase here live at Centennial Sportsplex on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's about to get a little bit louder here at Centennial Sportsplex as the team has made their way over to our rink. They were at the other rink, and so it was a little bit quieter in here. Now business is going to pick up, as they say. They're going to work on some stuff, and hopefully we had Peter LaViolette earlier in the show. We'll have player two maybe a little bit later in the program. We're talking about the undefeateds and the teams that are winless in the NFL. I'm going to ask you guys if you believe they're real or they're frauds, because everybody wants to start off 3-0. So let's talk about one of the teams that we already mentioned, the Bills. Are they real or are they frauds, in your opinion?
I don't think they're a great team, but I think Allen is better. He's made a nice little jump. I think their defense is good, and I think their schedule is going to keep them in it, because as we mentioned yesterday, they still get to play the Dolphins twice and the Jets one more time. So that's six. If they win those three games, that's six wins. So then if somewhere along the schedule you can find three more wins. I mean, they got the Patriots this week. We're going to find out about them.
Then they're here.
In that game.
Well, that's what I'm bringing.
Then
why
they're
I bring
coming
them up.
Here.
Their
I mean,
next two games are Patriots and here against the Titans.
Then Miami. So that should be a win.
But they get the Redskins.
We're
going to
find out in the next 2 weeks what they're made of.
They play the Redskins later in the season. I don't expect them to win 13 games, right? But I think they have the Broncos.
Who have been poop.
They've been bad. The Steelers, they get them on the road. The Steelers have got a lot of issues.
Philadelphia, Washington.
So I think the Bills being in the wild card hunt, at least, is a very realistic thing.
I think the game for the Titans, now looking at it from their point of view, that game against Buffalo is going to be huge when you're looking on down the road for a wild card spot. Because I think those two teams are going to be right there together.
Right.
Fighting for one of those spots. So that's why a win by the Titans would be very, very important.
And is it not another example of when you look at the schedule and you say, well, if they could just get through the first 4 weeks and then you got Buffalo kind of, Buffalo is not a gimme.
Let's say this.
You think that Buffalo's going to be no worse than 3-1 coming into that game?
What if they lose to New England and it's 24-21? And they're competitive, and they're right there.
I wouldn't.
Tommy, pulls it out at the end.
Up in Buffalo, I wouldn't doubt that.
I wouldn't either.
I think they could hang around in that game.
I don't think they're great, but I don't think they're terrible.
All right, another 3-0 team, the Green Bay Packers. Real or frauds?
I think they're frauds. I'm just not a. I'm not a true believer in them yet. LaFleur, I still have questions. I still have questions about the relationship with Rodgers. I have questions about the weapons that they have.
They beat the Bears, the Vikings, and the Broncos.
The Bears, I'm still like, And the Vikings, I'm still, about. And the Broncos, I don't think are very good.
Next two games, this week, they host the Eagles.
Okay.
At Dallas. That's the next 2 weeks. So just like the Bills being 3-0, the Packers have two very tricky games because the Eagles are desperate.
Yeah.
They are very desperate. Okay?
I think the Eagles are a little better than their record shows too. They've had injuries. I mean, they're fighting through injuries. They had to cancel a practice last week because they just didn't have enough guys.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big thing.
So you
with
think
them.
They are frauds?
Yes. I'm not ready to believe in them yet.
It's hard for me to say at 3-0 and Aaron Rodgers your quarterback that you could be a fraud, but what's shaping up is that division is looking pretty deep. With the line, I'm sure one of your next teams you're going to say is the Lions. The Lions are 2-0-1.
I know, but okay.
You're saying they're a fraud.
I'm going to ask that. So, as you mentioned, they tied the Cardinals, which they blew that game. They totally blew the game. They should be 3-0, but they're not. I agree. The Lions are 2-0-1. Real or fraud?
That's hard.
I don't know. How can you ever
just the history?
Yeah,
it's hard for you to say, well, yeah, this is it. They're, because you're
I mean, look at that.
You're
hard
pressed
right
to
now.
Say why. You know, why would they be that much better? But they are 2-0-1.
They host the Chiefs this weekend. Then they are at the Packers. That's their next two games.
And then Minnesota.
So their next two games, just like the teams we've been talking about, huge gauges of really what these teams are. I mean, those look like two losses to me.
Yeah.
Home against the Chiefs, at the Packers. It seems like two losses.
Chris Collinsworth says this every year, that September is the feeling out process, and then by the time you really get to December, that's when you figure out who can really play. So this has been happening more. I know there's a lot of stats that sit there and say, if you're 0-3 or if you're 1-3, your percentage chance is this or this, but I do think you could probably find lots of examples of teams that start off. There's always a team every year that's 3-0 that ends up being a very ordinary team or can't win once everything shakes out.
Oh, yeah.
And then the opposite is true also. There's also going to be a team every year that's 1-2 or even 0-3 or 1-3 that ends up being just fine.
Yeah, I just –
the Colts
really
last year.
Colts
right
last
now.
Year, a great example.
Yeah, and
– once they got it in gear, they were tough, but
the
they looked bad.
The Titans fall in that category.
Well, you hope. You got to hope.
All right, what about the 49ers, 3-0? Real or fraud?
Really good question on them, because that's another – you look at the teams they've beat, and you're not blown away by any of those teams, right?
Yeah.
Bucks, Bengals, Steelers.
Yeah, three. The Steelers have got issues. We know that with the quarterback. And
really, they could have lost because the Steelers were in position to win that game, and they gave it away.
But their record is 3-0.
Yeah.
By the way, two of those wins were on the road. They went across. I mean, think about it. San Francisco went to Tampa and won, and then went to Cincinnati and won. Convincing.
Yeah.
Well, beat them both pretty bad.
Yes. I do think the margin can tell you something. If they're not, it's not that just beat bad teams, but
they
won easily.
They
won easily. Now, they had some turnovers, which was big, right? They had some defensive touchdowns. That always is a big factor. But Garoppolo's record as a starter is, you know, when he's in there.
He's 11-2.
I mean, you can't ignore that, right? You cannot ignore that.
He's 11-2. That
and
is unbelievable.
The other thing that the 49ers have done is if you look at their defensive line with Bosa added in there, they've put some heavy picks, some high picks into that D-line. And that's becoming an area where now with Sherman and those guys in the secondary, you've got the makings of a defense that can go along with Garoppolo.
Remember, they added D Ford.
I'm leaning.
Yeah.
D Ford, they paid all the money.
So I'm leaning towards them not being a fraud.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards that too, because when we did our NFC West previews.
Richard Sherman.
The 49ers were a team that we kept going, well, if Jimmy G's healthy, I mean, we didn't really see it all gel together last year because he got hurt. All right, maybe they put it all together, and so far they have. I mean, the competition's going to get stiffer for them. I think it's a tough division with the Rams and the Seahawks and 49 or the Cardinals. But I'm leaning towards that they're legit.
They host the Browns this weekend.
Then
they're at the Rams.
Browns better get it into gear.
I love how with all these teams we're talking about, the next 2 weeks are those games of, okay, you're going to find out now if they're real or if they're not. Like, the schedule gets tougher for all these teams that we've brought up so far.
Yeah, they're on a bye week. So they have a bye, and then is that Monday Night Football? Yeah, I think Monday night they host the Browns. Of course, again, the Browns being on a – all their games on national television this year?
I guess.
Yeah, boy.
That could come back to bite the NFL.
Could.
They're like, listen, Cleveland, we're giving it to you this year. Don't let us down.
Finally, the Dallas Cowboys 3-0. Real or frauds?
They're giant
Giants,
good team.
Redskins, Dolphins.
I think we knew they were going to be a good team. The question is, are we talking 13-3 kind of good? like juggernaut kind of good, I still think the jury's out on that. Are they going to win 10? Yeah, I think they're going to win 10 at least.
Yeah.
But have they reached another level from where they were last year? I think the jury's still out.
You know why they? I think they are is because their quarterback is doing what we thought and hoped that Mariota would do, right? That quarterback playing for his contract.
Getting better.
Well, he's not getting better. Dak Prescott is tearing it up. Yeah. I mean,
but he's tearing it up against bad teams.
He's going to get paid, and people are saying not only is he going to get paid, they're going to make him the highest paid quarterback in the league.
You say that like it's like, I mean, he's supposed to tear it up against bad
teams.
He's doing what he's supposed to do.
You have to give him his due on that. He looks good.
Can you definitively say that Mariota tears it up against bad teams?
No,
you can't. So
not every time.
That's what I'm saying. That's the difference.
Not every week.
He's
that's
doing
sure.
exactly what he's supposed to. Now this week, you know, the Saints with Teddy Bridgewater, okay, didn't look that bad.
At the Saints, that's where they play.
They're at the Dome. It's a Sunday night game.
And
so,
then they host the Packers. That's their next two games.
So they have a couple of big tests coming off of a stretch of not good teams. So
two big ones.
And I'll say this. The first half against Miami, because you guys know I was watching that game, Miami hung in there, and then they pulled away in the second half like they should have. But, you know, they have weaknesses too. So, but I still think they're legit. I think they're going to win the division because I think they are by far, at least right now, the better team in that division.
We'll come back and wrap up the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase next. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. We'll have Mitch Light from Athlon Sports kick off the third hour with us. We'll talk a little college football with him. We got tons to discuss on that front. As
it was a busy week.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I'm going to ask him about this Houston quarterback. Did you see this?
Yeah.
Shutting it down?
Yep. I saw that last night, I guess.
Does anybody, a show of hands, it's radio, but I will tell everybody in radio land who has their hand raised. Who believes he is back with the Houston Cougars next year? Raise your hand.
I don't know enough about the story to really be able to tell you.
Okay. No hands.
No hands.
I don't believe for a minute, even though he said, you know, I'm – so you're bailing on your team and you're shutting things down and you're coming back to the same team next year? No. Give me a break.
Why would you – why? I mean
– well, you know the easy dot. He's a really good quarterback.
Yeah.
You know the easy dot to connect is
– he's entering the portal.
Quarterback you, right? So where does he go?
I don't –
Lincoln Riley, hello, Oklahoma.
Yeah, and he hasn't played.
Is he that good?
Four games, right? In it, four games.
I think he had 50 touchdowns last year.
But Oklahoma, I would think, has other guys. Remember, they have some high recruits that
Lincoln Riley was
saying, "Hey, I'm not sure Jalen Hurts is going to be our guy." Remember?
Houston played Oklahoma. Did you hear what Lincoln Riley had to say about him after the game? Like, that kid is special. Like, that quarterback, he's glowing about him. That quarterback is really good.
Has Lincoln Riley ever started a quarterback he actually recruited, or are they just...
Well, does it matter?
No.
You think anybody in Oklahoma cares?
No. It doesn't matter.
Do you think any fan base would care if all he does is just bring in a one-year Heisman Trophy winner?
We'll sign this guy on a one-year deal.
By the way, we didn't talk about it enough. Kyle Allen is going to start against the Texans for the Panthers.
Oh.
Was any of us impressed by Kyle Allen at Texas A&M? This guy was undrafted. And now he's to start. Is that not the same Kyle Allen from A&M?
I thought I read Houston there.
Hang on. We can look this
maybe
up.
He's from Houston and went to A&M.
I remember his name.
But that's one of those guys. Just
all
like
those
Minshew.
Quarterbacks.
I was like,
remember all the Sumlin quarterbacks that just kept transferring? You couldn't keep up with all the quarterbacks that were coming
He played for A&M and Houston.
Yeah. Like, nobody remembers. I don't remember any glowing remarks
but
about
was
Kyle
he one
Allen.
Of the,
that's right. Was he
one of the five-star guys that transferred?
Yeah.
Remember, A&M had all the five-star quarterbacks and they transferred?
Yes.
Yeah, when Kenny Hill transferred, Allen was positioned to be the starter for the Aggies in 2015, and was named the starting quarterback. And then he transferred in 2016 to Houston.
Well, he's got him a win.
I know, but isn't He's
undefeated. And by the way,
he played it. He played. He is 2-0 as their starter, and Cam's lost his last 8 starts for Carolina.
The news is not good about Cam Newton. Did you see the infamous word that we all laugh about, the Liz Frank?
No.
The foot deal, the Liz Frank is a big concern.
Ooh.
For Cam Newton. So Liz Frank, like, if it's bad enough, it could be, you know, done talking IR, you know, talking done for the season in some cases. I don't know specifics of that, but remember we were like, Liz Frank, what is that?
Yeah.
What's liver? But it's not good. So
well,
the foot's
like,
been bothering him for a while, and if that's it, this is the problem. So Fraser just passed the puck.
He did.
Right.
It's went under the table.
Uh-oh. We'll get it back. He's like, just give it to me. Stop playing games. Give me the puck.
He's like, just give it to me, man. I'm not talking to you. Got a binky in my mouth.
I have heard this 5 times already today. Chris Mason has said he will not be a goalie. He's going to be a goal scorer.
Yeah, he will. So, he's running well in those boots.
Yeah, he's all over the ice. I mean, he is. He's very mobile.
I got one more for you guys before we hit the top of the hour here. Go full on college football. The latest in the Scott Boras. There's the world, and then there's the world with Scott Boras. Now, how many baseball games are played every year? Hundreds, whatever. Scott Boras goes public. Remember, we can all remember Bryce Harper wiping out at first base and had the hyperextended knee. It was like, oh, my gosh. Like, you watch that?
Yep.
Once in a blue moon, something like that happens. Chris Bryant has injured his ankle on a similar type of play, trying to beat out a ball at first base. I guess the bag was a little slick. And Scott Boras goes on this tirade now. Major League Baseball hasn't done anything about the bases since the Bryce Harper. They haven't done anything. Well, is there some epidemic of people wiping out at first base? I mean, how many people run to first base dozens of times every night in ballparks all over the country?
Have they thought?
I don't think there's a problem with the bases.
Willie, have they thought about doing what they do at 8U, coach pitch? We have 2 bases, see? Have they thought about doing that?
It's got nothing to do with
an
that.
An inside bag for the first baseman, an outside bag
but no,
for the
it
runner.
Has nothing to do with the first baseman. It's the base itself. He's saying the base is slick. If it's wet, it can be slippery and cause you to do that. But baseball has been played for 100 years. If somebody comes along with a better base, fine. But it's not like people every night are, oh, my gosh, I wonder if he can make it to first without slipping. But if it happens, something happens to his client, now Scott Boras is acting like Major League Baseball has been completely negligent. And what are they doing about this huge – 2 guys over the course of how many years? Not like
– thousands of games.
Come on. Have a little perspective.
It's an absolute non-issue.
It's a total non-issue.
When I think of Scott Boras, I don't think of perspective.
No.
And he's like trying to put baseball on the spot. Like, why won't you ask baseball? Like, why haven't they – Well, because it's not a problem.
In other words, he's trying to drum up a story that's not a story?
Exactly.
Yeah. Shocking coming from Scott Boras. We'll come back.
Shocking, yes. Scott Boras would do that? No.
No. We'll come back. We'll turn our attention to college football. Mitch Light from Athlon Sports and his Brooklyn Nets pullover.
He's a proud fan.
Huh. Mm. Okay. All right. Barclays.
He goes back to New Jersey. It's the route. He's followed them from New Jersey. Unlike a lot of the Islander fans, didn't follow him over to Brooklyn. He's followed them.
I'm going to ask him about Mike Fratello when he was their coach, when they would score 60 points a game.
That was when he was coaching the Cavs, though, wasn't he?
No, it was with the Nets.
The Czar coached the Cavs. He was the Cavs. Take a look.
Who am I? Are you sure about that? I thought when he was there, they would score like 62 points a game.
When he was with the Cavs.
Oh, I thought it was the Nets. Let's look that up. All right, more with Mitch Light from Athlon Sports on the other side to kick off the third hour next.